Okay, because I had, for some reason, I was thinking it was up here a little further north.
I think that maybe there was a stage of, I don't know what you call it, but the stage used to come through here. And we're down the road there, you know, where those longhorn cattle are.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there. And they may have called that Los Pinos at one time. I don't know for sure about that.
But that's where the stage used to stop, was right down in there somewhere?
Uh-huh.
Huh. Do you ever ride on a stage?
No.
I've always wondered what that would be like. I even envy the movie stars that get to go and do those westerns, because they get to go and do all those things that I always wanted to do, and I never got to do them.
Well, don't worry about it. It wasn't any fun.
It was probably a lot of work to have to go out and hitch up a team to go out and do anything, huh?
Yeah. We used to start out here 7 o'clock in the morning to get up in, we called it the dry ranch, to get up there to hay or anything. Imagine getting anybody up at 7 o'clock. They have to get up earlier than that because they have to get up time to feed their horses, let them eat before they go to work. About 4 o'clock.
Bet the horses were really very well taken care of during that time. Not quite like you see a lot of horses these days that probably don't get any attention at all.
No, well, we took care of our horses. We, our saddle horses, of course, they were always around. We fed them grain. You'd get up early in the morning, and on the work horses, you'd get up early in the morning and feed them grain and hay and curry them and harness them and let them eat for an hour before you had, or you'd hook them up to a piece of machinery and go to work. And then at noon, you have to water them and feed them and give them time to eat. A horse can only go about 5 hours without food before he's hungry. So every so often they have to be fed.
How do you steer the wagon? I've always wondered that. You've got your reins out here. Do you pull in on one just to pull their faces around? Is that how you...
The horses around, yes.
So you just pull on the one side to turn them whichever you were going.
Uh-huh.
Was it reins they're hooked up to all of them, or are they just mainly to the lead horse? Well, I guess most of the time you only ran maybe two horses, though, didn't you?
Most of the time we just had 2 horses, but if they had more horses, they were up, hooked together with them. I think they called them leaders. It would be a strap that go from one horse to the other. And it got to where nobody knew how to drive horses. After they started using tractors, you know, nobody knew how to handle a horse. You couldn't hire anybody that knew enough to feed them. You couldn't. They didn't know enough to harness them or anything else. Can't imagine how awful it feels to, when you're used to all of that, not be able to do it, you know, or have it done. But I can see now that people just didn't know how to do it. They don't know now. I bet you can't find a kid in Bayfield that knows how to harness a team.
I wouldn't know how. So the horses that you used, though, weren't really your... They were more of a workhorse more than just a saddle horse, weren't they? Or?
Yeah, we never did ride the workhorses. Oh, maybe somebody'd ride them just to come in from the field or something. Jump on to save walking, but No, our saddle horses were different breeding horses.
Mm-hmm.
I used to ride horseback all the time. Right, and I'd go out and work together cattle or look after them or something. We'd ride all day long, start out before daylight, be 9, 10 o'clock at night when we'd get home. That's a long ride.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get pretty tired.
Did you ever get saddle sores?
Oh, yeah.
I remember getting those over at my grandmother's ranch and having to have her fix them for me when I was a little tiny.
I never did really have a real saddle sore, no. You learn to ride, if you learn to ride, you don't get them. Protect yourself.
Well, when you did all your branding of cattle, did your family all come together and do the branding, or did neighbors go around and help one another out on the branding?
Oh, a lot of times I think they used to go help each other, you know. And of course, we always just had our own family and the hired men that were working here. Some people. Up in Nebraska, where my granddaughter is, they have a branding and the neighbors come in and help. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been a project to do when you had that many cattle.
Yeah, it is a project.
And then for you to have to cook for everybody.
I used to always help with the cattle. I rode, always come home and cook. No time to play in those days.
But I think it was a healthier life.
It was, because we didn't eat all of this prepared food. We ate just plain old beans and potatoes and meat, which was good for us. And we usually ate pretty well on time. When you had hired men, you had to feed them at a certain time. Took care of my chickens. I'd raise a batch of chickens every year and a big garden. It keeps you working.
How did the Depression years treat you?
The Depression years? Well, you know, we was pretty hard up. That's when we was living at the Lord Place. We called it the Lord Place. It's down the road 6 or 3 miles. But that's when we were married, was it during the Depression. We go to town once every 2 or 3 weeks. All we bought was sugar and coffee. Chewing tobacco, they had to have that.
They didn't have any rationing on the chewing tobacco, huh?
No. But then when the war came, of course we had rationing.
Right. Because I've noticed when I talk to people that are city people that the Depression hit them a lot harder than the rural people.
Well, I suppose so, because we didn't have anything to start with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you were self-sufficient. You had your gardens and your cattle, and you didn't depend on town or some other income. You already had everything under control.
I've had lots and lots of meals I fixed for people that would come. And they'd always hit your house just about noon, you know. So, supper time. I'm sure that wasn't just an accident each time. But I cooked for a lot of people that didn't belong here.
So is that more or less the way people felt during the Depression out here, was that you needed to take care of those that had it, just kind of pitched in and helped those that didn't?
Yeah. One time, it was before Barbara was born, Frank went to Bayfield for something, and down there he met a family, a man and a woman and two kids. And they had come from Baca County. At that time, they were having that the Depression and the Dust Bowl days, you know, in the eastern part of the country. And those people had starved out there. So they come, started west, right come across them. And of course they wanted a job. And he told them, well, he could let them keep. At that time, we moved up here and we had the Lord Place house was empty. So he let them move in there. He helped them come on up and get in the house. And they didn't have a thing left, a thing to eat supper with. So we come up here, and I fixed what I could get together and sent it down there for them to eat. And give them food enough so they could fix supper and breakfast in maybe a day or two, you know. And they was hard up. Mm. Lots of people come that hadn't had anything to eat for a day or two.
Could you see it coming? Could you see the Depression coming?
No.
No, when you were back then. Could you see it? Did people talk that it was going to come because things were just...
I don't think so. I didn't realize we were as poor as we were. I was just happy as I could be the whole time. And it didn't matter to me that we didn't have anything. It didn't bother me a bit. I had enough to eat. And I always say the nicest thing I ever got in my life was a roof over my bedroom. Well, when we lived down there, when it rained, my bedroom would leak. And when we got a little bit of money together, we got tin and put on top of there. And we papered the bedroom with some kind of building paper. And I always have said that was the nicest thing I ever got. I've had lots of things given to me that are lots more expensive. All should have been nicer, but that was the nicest thing I ever got.
Was that your happiest day too?
Well, I don't know. I was always happy. Always happy.
So did you, you know, you hear about this, and you might need to set me straight on it, you know, where women used to get together and have sewing bees, you know, and do that kind of thing. Did you
I
get involved in that?
I never had time for that. I was working. Mm-hmm. Busy. I never worked away from home. I didn't have a job like these women do nowadays. They think they've got to have a job. They'd stay at home and take care of their kids, live what daddy brings home, live on what he brings home, they'd be better off. Now they've got to have a job, sort of thing. And, but I didn't do that. I stayed home, did the work at home, raised my kids, took care of my in-laws.
Did you have any, you know, you also heard of these little social gatherings where you'd have dances and church socials and things like that. Did you go to those?
Once in a while, up at Columbus or some schoolhouse. And the boys would pitch in a quarter or 50 cents to pay for somebody to fiddle. And the girls would take a cake or some sandwiches. And that's what we paid for it. And we had a great time. Had lots of fun. Mm-hmm. During the war, why, we had the same thing. But one night up at Columbus, there was an old boy, got out of the army or whatever he was doing, come up there, and of course, we was all so glad to see him. And he decided to go home. And he started home, and I guess he drank a little more than he should have. They had moonshine those days, you know, and whiskey that they'd made themselves. And he drove off in the river. Bridge, there wasn't any banisters on it, you know, just so I drove off in the river. It wasn't very much water in it. So I come back up to the dance and told the people, boys, what he'd done. So they all went down there and got him out. Then he went home. I'd like to ask him if he remembers that.
So what did you think about World War II when that started?
Well, I didn't like it.
Did any of your family friends go?
No, sir. I never had any of my family in war. That's one thing I can say. I just didn't. There were people that were pretty close to me.
Boy, that had to have been a hard time.
It was a hard time. It was a hard time, but we managed. We had rationing. We got by fine. We had our own meat we could use. It was rationed on sugar and shoes. But that didn't bother us. A little boy and his mother come from California. They came here to visit. And we gave them our meat coupons because they couldn't get meat for that little boy. And he was a kind of a sick little kid, and the doctor told him to feed him meat. But that's what he needed. And of course, they couldn't buy it. They didn't have the coupons to get it, so we gave him ours. I've wondered a lot of times. He still lives in California. I get a Christmas card from him once in a while.
So did you just sit around and listen to the radio during that period of time, listen to any stories or anything about the war?
We didn't have a radio. First radios we got, we had to use a battery, like a car battery, you know. We didn't have electricity. There wasn't much radio on. Anything you wanted to hear, it would go dead before you got to hear it.
Yes. So when did you first see electricity here then?
1934. I think it was 34. I know we didn't have electricity when our girls were born.
What about indoor plumbing?
Well, we didn't have that till 44. That's a kind of a job. It's another thing people don't know about. They think water just comes, you know. They think it's there. It's not always there. You don't have indoor plumbing. You have to live a lot differently than they do now.
My mother tells me stories when she was growing up of how scared she'd get when she'd have to go out to the outdoor toilet in the night. She'd always try to plan to do it before it got dark because she'd just get scared. And one time she walked out and a cow was right there, and she put her hand right on the cow's nose and scared her to death. Scared the cow, they both jumped, and
I expect that. Sounds natural.
So was it a pretty exciting time when you got the plumbing in the house?
We thought when you it was first... pretty nice.
Oh, I bet.
We have two springs up here a mile. And Frank piped that water down here. He put the pipes in himself. Got the water in the house. We sure were happy. Mm. 1944.
And then it was probably some time, or did you do it right away to have a hot water heater in, or did was that something that just came so much later?
Well, it came a little later. We had a water vac in the cook stove. At the time, we used wooden coal to heat the house to cook on. And we put a water vac in the stove. And it worked pretty good. It heated the water pretty nice for us.
Hmm. How does that work? I've never heard of that.
Well, you know how a wood stove works. Mm-hmm. Well, then they put a little back that's about that thick, so wide and so long, with pipe water pipes in it. One for cold water to come in and one for the hot water to go out.
I'll be darned.
And you heat it when you build a fire in the cook stove, it heats the water.
Huh.
It works pretty good. It's not like they got nowadays, but it's better than nothing.
So did you go out and gather the wood? Did you have to go out and cut wood every fall, or did you do it year-round when you gathered wood for your stoves?
When we lived at the Lord place, I gathered my own wood most of the time. I'd take my horse and a sack or two, and I'd go over and gather my wood, pack it to the house, because Frank never got home in time to. And when he had time, he'd get a load of wood. Of course, that was great.
Boy, that had to have been a job, too, of getting out there with handsaws. Isn't that what you had to use to get these big? Or did you not go too much for the big stuff, did you?
Well, we'd get some of it. Of course, we had cross-cut saws. They were great long saws like that. And you could cut up a lot of wood with one of them.
And then where did you haul your coal from?
Well, we hooked up the team and went over here across on over on Beaver Creek. A lot of times they'd mine it themselves, dig it out of the bank. Then there got to be somebody over there that would have it dug and we could buy it. It wasn't very good coal. And then we had a coal mine over here across the river. It was pretty poor coal, but we used it.
Hmm.
There was a man there that would mine it for us. Because if we could drive to Durango and get a load of that coal, that's good coal over there. But this here is not much.
I didn't even know there was any coal right around this area, so that's kind of interesting to know.
Oh, there's a lot of coal in Durango. Just out of train. We used to ship it out of there by their old train load.
So did you ever ride on the train when it was used to run right over here?
No. I rode on the train to go to North Dakota when I was 6 months old, but that's the only train ride I had until I, later years, about 1950 or so, I went with Frank to ship the cattle, and I rode a train to from Alamosa to Kansas City.
How long a ride was that?
What?
How long did it take you to get there?
I think it took us a day and a half.
Did you just sleep on the train too?
Yeah,
and
we had a birth, I believe they call it, a night birth or something like that, and we slept on the train.
Hmm. I think that'd put me to sleep. You know, you get in, sometimes you get in a rocking chair and it's got those certain creaks to it. I think that you got in a train, you'd hear this certain little rattle and it put you to sleep.
No, I didn't sleep much.
No. So when did you see your first car?
Well, I don't know, about 1917, I suppose. I know the first old Ford that I remember real well went by. I was at my aunt's house, and it went by, and they had a whole bunch of kids. And they had those kids in the back of that Ford, and no top on it, you know. And I told Mom, I was scared to death those kids is going to fall out of that thing and kill them all. I'll never forget how scared I was those kids would fall out of there. But they didn't. I guess they never did. But that old Ford car, they sure weren't much of a car. But people liked them because they could get around. They was a little faster than horses.
They must have been a sight to see, though, if you're so used to all the, you know, it's just like now, you see one of these big old fancy limousines that, you know, the real rich people drive in. When I see those, I'm just, because you never see them, and you're not used to seeing such a thing. I can't imagine what it'd be like to see a car that you've never seen a car before. That must have been really something to see.
Horses in those days were scared to death of a car. They'd run away and everything else. Well, just imagine that thing putting along there, which you've never seen before. It scared them nearly to death.
When did you own your first car?
My dad bought a car in 1918. Had an old Ford car. And that's one of the cars we had when we moved to this country. When we moved to Colorado. Of course, we thought we had the world in the tail. It was really fancy. We thought.
I bet. What about airplanes?
We flew to Hawaii in 1929, and that's the only plane ride I had until here about 3 years ago. I flew to Nebraska to see my granddaughter. I flew back, and that's all my plane rides. I haven't had many.
Was that pretty spectacular to see a plane, though, the first time?
Yeah, it was. It was quite a thing, you know. It was really amazing.
It just seems like that, you know, I'm almost envious of what you've got to experience, and that it seems like everything's just already been found now, you know?
Yeah, you think so.
It's like, well, what else is there to, what new else? But I guess this computer stuff is just incredible anymore. And
yeah.
The space, look at the space shuttles that you've got now, you know? I remember in, what was it, 1968 that we landed on the moon? And now they go up there with these, the shuttles that come back to Earth, and they really, the technology is just getting more and more involved, isn't it?
I don't know if it's good or not. But it's supposed to be. But I don't believe it's good for our atmosphere to have all of that stuff going on. I think it's killing us by inches. The time would probably be when we wish we'd never heard of such a thing. But they'll just keep on experimenting, doing more and more and more.
Well, I think we're done, don't you?
What?
You think we're covered about everything we think of?
I don't know.
I'm gonna...